How you guys doing today? Good. Well, seems like I got a lot of breathing going on there, doesn't it? Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Oh, Father. Father, we humbly come before your throne. We need your strength, need your ability, need your wisdom, need your clarity. Father, we just praise you this morning. We just look at your word and learn a little bit about you, Father, and just how precious you really are to us in our life. We praise you. We thank you, Father. Just allow me to step out of the way and allow you, Father, to do what you need to do here this morning. You're God, and I want your will to be done, not mine. Father, we praise you and love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I want to thank everybody for the prayers for the family. Helen McClellan passed away there a week ago. So, yeah, I'm going to do it. I appreciate all the prayers. But today's sermon, see the title of the sermon is The House of Prayer. How important is prayer to us? A couple weeks ago, I went up to visit Helen. Really sweet lady, really godly lady. I don't think I ever saw her angry. Yeah, she's just one of them people that I never saw angry. I mean, and there was a lot of people there talking to her. She was in her wheelchair and different things. And the Lord had impressed upon me to pray for her a week before, all through the week. It's like, it's what I do, you know. And when I got there, everybody's talking. And just the time that the Lord just opened up, she was sitting there and I knelt down in front of her chair and I said, "Helen, I want to pray for you." She said, "Yes." And I thought, what do you pray for somebody who's 98 years old? What do you pray? And the Lord gave me just a simple little prayer. I told some people about it. Just give her the desires of her heart. Because you know what? She went, "Yes." She wanted to go home to be with the Lord. She was ready. And I thought, isn't that cool? Huh? And she did. We were singing a song today, "I Am Free," and I thought, I could hear her. "I'm free! Huh? I'm dancing, I'm free!" And I thought, that's pretty cool. Huh? That's pretty cool. And it ties right in with today's sermon. House of Prayer. It's interesting to me. Prayer is a... Prayer is a vehicle that God has allowed us to use to talk to Him. Isn't that something? Prayer. What is prayer? We've talked about it. I got some stuff wrote down. But of all the things that God could have named His house, He named His house a house of prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. And I'm thinking, you know, the God of the universe who's able to, I mean, His language skills are probably... yo, amazing, right? And He decided that He would call His house, you, the church, a house of prayer. Isn't that cool? Matthew chapter 21. Some things going on here in chapter 21. I'm going to have to do a little something here. But in 21, we have the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? He comes into town and people are just, they're throwing things on the ground and just, and they're saying, "Hosanna to the God the highest." I mean, they're having a good time, excited. And in 21 there in verse 10 it says, "And when he entered Jerusalem, all of the city became agitated, trembling with excitement, saying, 'Who is this?'" In verse 11, the crowds replied, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Jesus had come to town. Isn't that cool? Verse 12, we won't get into. Verse 12, Jesus goes into the temple. He goes into the whole temple enclosure. When you look at the vocabulary of the New Testament, it says, "And he drove out all who bought and sold in the sacred place, and he turned over the tables, the four-footed tables of the money changers, and the chairs of those who sold doves." He kicked everybody out of the temple, out of his church at that time, that was making money. Taking advantage, cheating, stealing from people in the church. Wow. In verse 13, he says, and he says to them, the scripture says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. A house of prayer. Church should be known by its prayer, right? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. A church, the body of Christ, should be known by our prayers. You can gauge your spiritual walk with God on your prayers. Do you pray all the time? Charles Spurgeon, I read this week, it's kind of cool. He said that you should pray when you get up, pray during the day, pray at night. You should even pray when you're sleeping. And I thought, cool. Pray when you're sleeping. He says, so that way when you wake up, you're still in His presence. And I thought, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So where did Jesus get this from? He says, written. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 56. I'm going to read some stuff here. We're going to look at some things here. If we're going to be known as a house of prayer, then we need to be praying, right? I mean, that makes sense to you? Seems like it does to me, yeah. Yeah, should be praying. We should be praying. Isaiah 56. A lot of things going on in Isaiah. There's a lot of bad things going on. God really shows Himself here in Isaiah, different things. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to read it. In Isaiah chapter 56, and we're going to start from the very first, says, thus says the Lord, keep justice, do and use righteousness, says conformity to the will of God which brings salvation. For my salvation is soon to come, and my righteousness, my rightness and justice to be revealed. This is a long time ago. Blessed and happy and fortunate is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold of it and binds himself fast to it, who keeps sacred the Sabbath so as not to profane it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Whew, a lot there. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs, who keep my Sabbath and choose the things which please me and hold firmly to my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better and more enduring than sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Eunuchs didn't have any children. God's saying, hey, you obey my commands, you're going to have a better memorial. You're going to have a better name. Isn't that something? What's he say in verse 6? Also the foreigners. Who's that? You and me. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him and to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath so as not to profane it and holds fast my covenant. Verse 7. All these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Pretty interesting. Why did God call His house a house of prayer? I was looking at this. I kind of wondered. You know, he could have picked any name for His church. He could have picked any name for this house. He could have picked a name for this house. He said, I want it to be a house of prayer. We should be known by our prayer, right? Psalm 50. I want to show you something here. Are you doing pretty good at your Bible reading? You guys doing some Bible reading every week? Getting some Bible verses in? Yeah, cool. Good deal. I challenge the kids to read at least 2 chapters a week. See how they do. two chapters a day, I'm sorry. But I think it's very, very good. We went through in that last couple weeks ago in Sunday school, we talked about that. And then Psalm 50, a lot going on here. God's telling them some things. But in Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High and call on me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver you. You shall honor and glorify me. Do we only call on the Lord when we're in trouble? Is that what gets our motivation to pray? When you call on the Lord, you're praying, right? I'm going to read the rest of this Psalm 50 because it gets kind of scary. It's a good thing. It's a good thing we live in a day of grace. When Christ died on that cross, he paid the sin penalty, debt, the penalty for you and I, for our sins. So when God looks at us, he looks at me, he doesn't see this miserable old guy. He sees his son. I'm covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as you are. He doesn't see my failures. He doesn't see all my shortcomings. He didn't see this pathetic person that I am. He sees his son. And he gives me grace. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And the Old Testament is a little more severe. You ever read the Old Testament? A lot of people got killed in the Old Testament. It's pretty bad. It's bad stuff. You know what I mean? You start reading, it's bad. And on Psalm 50 here, it says, we might as well read 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or make my covenant or pledge on your lips? God's saying, you know what? You don't believe in me, who don't know me, who don't even act like I'm around. They say there's no God. Verse 17, seeing that you hate instruction and correction and cast my words behind you, disregarding them. When you see a thief, you associate with him. You have taken part with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. Wow. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was once entirely like you, but now I will reprove you and put the charge in order before your eyes. Verse 22, scary. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. That sounds pretty strong, doesn't it? God says, if you're not even going to pay no attention to me, if you're not going to even talk to me, if you had a friend you never talked to him, what would you think? If you had somebody who was your friend and never tried to call you, never tried to talk to you, didn't want anything to do with you, probably wouldn't be your friend very long, right? No. How do you think God feels? Huh? Isn't that something? How do you think God feels? And I was reading this, I thought, wow. So what's the power in prayer? What is that? We're going to go to the book of James. You can go there. It's all the way in the New Testament. Book of James. We're going to go to chapter 5. Wow. James 5 is an interesting... book of James is an interesting book. And it's interesting to me that in the first... when you go in James chapter 5, from verse 7 to verse... I think it's to verse 12. Yeah. From 7 to 12... the word patience is put on seven times. Seven times. You guys ever pray for patience? No. That's a definite no, right? Because we all know what that means, right? Something coming down the road. Something coming, right? So the first, from 7 to 12, there's word patience is used seven times. In verse 13, we come to the next part of it. The word prayer is used seven times. In my mind, the answer to patience in your trials and troubles is prayer. Yeah. Isn't that cool? So how important is prayer in your life? Is it something you do every day, all the time, without ceasing? When that idiot drives you off the road and you're like, you idiot! Take him out, God! Take him out! That's not prayer. Okay, that's not prayer, really. Okay, I'm just saying, you're talking to God, all right, and he's probably going, okay, I get it. I get your feeling. I thought that about that guy too. But no, you know what I'm saying? That's not prayer. Prayer is that intimate conversation we have with someone we love, someone that we really care about, and just talk. Isn't that cool? Knowing that he's not going to judge me for what I say, right? Knowing he's going to... What's more even incredible than that, he knows me inside and out. So when I say something, he knows my ulterior motives. So when we get to verse 13 of James chapter 5, it says, is anyone among you afflicted? This word for afflicted is kind of interesting to me because it means, meaning to suffer. It carries with it the outward things we must suffer as we walk through life. It means those outward things. Anybody have any problems in life? Guys, everything goes well, right? No problems? No? James is saying, if you've got trouble in your life, if you've got problems in your life, if you've got stuff, if you're living life, you're going to have problems, right? None of us gets out of this without any problems, right? It's not smooth, right? You can bury your head in the sand. It still ain't smooth. You're going to get sand in your mouth. It ain't smooth. So any of you afflicted, he should pray. What? So if I got all this trouble going on my life, what's the answer? Prayer. Isn't that cool? Huh? Okay. Let's see. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praises. Huh? Just like we did this morning. I purposely picked songs this morning. I had a little difficulty picking songs, but I purposely picked songs. The Warren song, it's bad. You know, it's tough, rough. It's a rough life. Things are bad in life, right? And then, I'll follow you. And then, I'll fly away. And then, I'm free. Huh? If we don't pray to God in our afflictions, we're cutting God off from helping us. Do you understand that? If you're not talking to God about your problems, you're cutting Him off from helping you. And we're going to see this when we get down through here. Let's keep going. And everybody's saying, wrap it up, Matt. Get a land the plane. Speaking of airplanes, I'm not going to go there. There's some people that jump out of perfectly good airplanes with a parachute. I mean, you know they got a parachute. This is cool. And it sounds like a lot of fun. I'd like to try that someday before I'm dead. We'll see what happens to that. But I seen this story and it made me chuckle. There was two guys that ended up at the pearly gates in heaven. One was a preacher. One was an airplane pilot. As soon as they got to the pearly gates, the airline pilot they let right in. But the preacher, they did a little, and he says, I don't get it. He said, I'm a preacher. I've been a preacher for 50 years. And the guy that flew an airplane gets in first. He said, well, when you preached, not very many people prayed. But when that guy flew an airplane, everybody did. Huh? You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So when we got trouble, what do? We pray, right? All right, let's keep going. Verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? And this word for sick is weak, feeble. You got some health issues. That's what this means. Sick. He should call in the church elders, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. Do you understand what we do every Sunday? We have a time up front that you can come forward and get prayed over by the elders, people of the church that love you. The Bible specifically states if you've got problems, if you've got some health issues, if you've got trouble in your life, you come up here and we get prayed for. They're gonna pray over you, they're gonna take you to the Lord, they're gonna take you to, and you know what's even cool? These guys that pray for you up here, when today is done, they'll be praying for you tomorrow. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Let's keep going. Oh my. And the prayer of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. We can ask for forgiveness in prayer, right? Get that idiot, God! Get him! I got to confess that is sin, right? It's a sin. I don't want nothing bad to happen to that person. Well, maybe. But I mean, no. You know, you really don't. To be a good Christian, I wouldn't want anything to happen to that person. You know what I mean? Okay? But in the moment, when he cuts you off and you about have to wreck to keep from hitting the person, that's a good time for that guy to take him, God. Huh? I have to confess that sin. I do. And I do that a lot. Not a lot, but I do it enough that I should know better. So, verse 16. Confess to one another your faults. Your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. You got people in your life that you can talk to about stuff. You got a person in your life you can talk to about stuff. And they don't judge you. They may give you some advice, they may not. Maybe they don't have a good answer for you. But people you can talk to that you know is not going to gossip. Huh? Not going to gossip. You tell them something, They're going to take it to God. Because they don't, maybe there's nothing they can do to help your situation. Maybe there is. But that person you tell, you know they're going to take that situation before the Lord. It's going to be before His throne. And they're going to put it there. And they're going to repeatedly put it there. And they're going to bring you before Him. Anybody like that in your life? It's a pretty cool place to be. Helen was that person. She never judged anybody. Just a sweet lady. Sweet lady. So, what's the last part of that verse say, verse 16? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. Do you understand? If someone loves you, if someone really cares for you, if someone really, really loves you, and you ask them or talk to them about a problem, they're going to pray for you in earnest before the throne. They're not going to say, well, God, help them out. Is that how you pray for somebody you love? No. When you pray for somebody you love, you get down on your knees. You know what I'm saying? You pray for them. You want them to have the desires of their heart. Helen wanted to go in her sleep. She did. Praise the Lord. Her last breath here, her first breath in heaven. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that'll be like? To be in the presence of the Almighty God? Could you imagine being hugged by those arms? Whoa! Is that cool or what? Now here we cry, and we do, but we know where she's at. Isn't that cool? And we can thank the Lord for all He did to get her to that point. 98 years of life. That's a long time. So the powerful prayer of a righteous man, someone who loves you. This is going to be a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. You know God is your personal Lord and Savior. You have the opportunity to go before His throne boldly. The Word tells us to go boldly before His throne. We talked in Sunday school. Some people said, I hollered at God. I hollered at Him. He's okay with that. Because He knows your heart. He knows you love Him. He knows you know He loves Him. And you, sometimes like, why would you let that happen, God? Had people praying that Helen would get better. It's like, it's not what she wants. You know what I mean? It's not what she wants. Her sister had passed away 4 weeks before. It's not what she wants. She wants to go see the Lord. Her husband had passed away 31 years. And gone. Wow. That's not what she wanted to go home. This place is not our home. Heaven is. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. What's it say here? Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have. He had feelings, affections, thoughts, processes, things. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on earth for 3 years and 6 months. We've been about, 3 weeks, 4 weeks without rain? Getting pretty dry out there, isn't it? Could you imagine 3.5 years? But you understand what he's saying here. God decided it was not going to rain on the earth, but he didn't start that process until Elijah prayed. You picking up on this? Look at this verse. And then he prayed again. And the heaven supplied rain, the land produces crops. And it didn't rain until Elijah prayed again for it to rain. Isn't that interesting? I wrote something down on that. Prayer. Prayer was allowing heaven to act on earth in the present to affect the outcome of history. And the future. Prayer is allowing heaven. We're allowing intimate, ultimate, timeless, eternal heaven, God, to step into time as we know it at this present state today, allowing Him to work. And that work that we pray for today is going to affect the history. What's coming tomorrow? The future. What's coming tomorrow? What's happened? It's going to affect everything that happens. That prayer affects it all. Can you imagine that? The eternal, timeless God who can move through time with nothing. He can be 1,000 years in the future, in the past. He's God. Time does not have a hold on him like we do. We got to get up tomorrow and go to work, right? Well, most of us do. Some of us don't. Huh? We got to get up and go to work tomorrow, right? God doesn't have that time schedule. He's God. So, prayer's communication vehicle God gives us to communicate with him. Told you that. God wants to be involved in history, but he has determined that he will not do it only through you. God wants to be involved on earth, but without prayer. Think about this. The things you never prayed for, you'll never get. The things you have never prayed for, you will never get. Because you didn't pray for them, right? I can wish. Well, I should wish. Talk to God about it? How important is prayer in your life? How important are other people in your prayer life? Do you know people that will pray for you? When you send that prayer chain out, when Julie sends that prayer chain out, you know there's people that stop what they're doing right then and pray for that situation. Do you know that? Do you know that? I think people do because they wouldn't put it on there if they didn't. They know people are praying. Because they have people that's going, you know what? We're going to take that before the Lord. We may not know the complete situation. May not. You don't know how many times prayers have been answered on that prayer chain. It's innumerable. It's innumerable. Because God was allowed. We said, God, you got to step in this situation. This is bad. And God says, I'm there. I'm at time right now. In this time, I'm here. That's something? You got to have people praying for you. People carrying you, right? We don't like that, do we? We're kind of independent, right? We're all independent. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. I want you to see something here. Situation. Jesus was involved in it. He always is. But in Mark chapter 2, I'm going to read a couple things here. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And Jesus, having returned to Capernaum, after some days it was rumored about that he was in the house. And it was in the house. This statement saying in the house. Some people say it was Peter's house. It's a house that he had been in before. He was in the house. You're like, he's in the house! Yeah! You heard that before, right? Jackson, he's in the house! Yeah! Yeah, okay. I didn't say that when I was your age. But anyway, that's part of it. So, verse 2. And so many people gathered together there, and there was no longer room for them. Not even around the door. There's a bunch of people. And he was discussing the word. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what that would have been like? That's just funny. But anyway, that would be so cool. You know, when the two were walking, and he expounded the word to him, like, dude, wouldn't that have been great to hear? Why did he write it down? Idiots. Why did he write it down? That would have been so cool. Verse 3. Then they came. Who's they? Just as they. Bringing a paralytic to them, who had been picked up and was being carried by four men. So these people, there's this guy who's paralyzed. Paralytic, paralyzed. Can't walk, I don't know, whatever. Can't get there on his own, right? So there's four guys, pick him up on a bed. Now they didn't have stretchers back then. They didn't have cots. They didn't have all the stuff that we got today. I don't know whether they just wrapped him up in a blanket and carried him over. I don't know what they did, you know what I mean? But this person was paralyzed. And it really came to me. Have you ever been in a situation in life where you were paralyzed to do anything? You ever jump out of an airplane and go, ah! Huh? You know what I'm saying? You're paralyzed. You can't do anything. You ever been in a situation like that and people come alongside you and pray for you? Pray with you? Walk with you? These four guys, didn't even say they was his friends. I'm surmising pretty much that they were. They put this guy in whatever, blanket, whatever, and they carry him to where Jesus is at. Because you know what? They knew the answer to his problem was there. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. He was there in this house. When they get there, verse 4, and when they could not get him to a place in front of Jesus because of the throng, they dug through the roof. Now, if you had Jesus meeting at your house and people started digging through the roof to get in, that'd be kind of, yeah, I mean, Les would get a lot of work out of something like that. I mean, you know, I mean, job security for the guy. You know what I'm saying? But I'm thinking, you know, if somebody's digging hole in my house roof, I don't have a little problem with that. You know what I'm saying? Huh? But these people were so wanting to get to Jesus with this guy, they dug a hole in the roof. How'd they get up there? I mean, it's on the roof. I seen a picture when I was in Sunday school. I still remember this. Like a little step, like an upper thing that went up, and they went up there and dug a hole in the roof. And dug it. I don't know. But they did. They dug a hole in the roof, okay? Because they knew, without a doubt, if they could get him, Jesus, if they could just get him there, this dude's prayers are going to be answered, right? He couldn't do a thing for himself. But these four people, they went up, they dig a hole in the roof. Wow. They dig through the roof above it, and when they had scooped out the opening and let him down on this mat or quilt, they let down, had ropes. They had these, I don't know, I guess ropes of some kind. They put him in there. First of all, I don't know four people I trust to lead me down through a rope. I'm thinking, you know, this could all go bad really fast. You know, this could be like one of them fail army things. Where, oh! You know what I'm saying? He's really paralyzed now. He had trouble before. He's really bad now. You know what I mean? You think about it. I mean, I think about it, stupid. But I'm thinking, okay, who are you going to trust to let you down through the roof? Somebody probably got to put some trust in somebody, right? These guys, they leave him down. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. He doesn't say here when he saw the paralyzed man's face, does he? What's he say? There. When he, like, dude, they got enough faith to dig a hole in the roof and drop this guy down, knowing that when he comes down here, he's going to be healed. Wow. This is our life. We have problems in our life. We offer this time of prayer. We have problems in our life. This is what this is all about. We're going to take you before the throne. We're going to take you before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know without a doubt, He's going to work on this situation. We don't may not know the outcome. It may not be what we want. We didn't want Helen to go. But you know what? It was time. So in situations, we have to ask the Lord for wisdom and guide His will. What do you want done in this situation? And he said, give her the desires of her heart. Then I knew. And then I knew at that point, it was. And she smiled and said, yes. I'm like, okay. This is where we're going with this. And you know what's really neat about that? No one else in that whole room saw me pray for her until I got up. Not one person. And I haven't shared that whole story with anybody but you guys. Because I don't understand that. That prayer that I prayed for her was a God-given prayer. Because I didn't know what to pray for. You ever had that problem? So say, hey, pray for me. You ever had that? Sometimes you just have to say, Lord, what is it you want me to say? And the Holy Spirit gives you enlightenment in that. Isn't that cool? So these guys leave this guy, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, when he saw their faith, the faith of these friends, and I'm going to use the word friends. Doesn't say they were family. Doesn't say they were friends. Didn't he say they were even colleagues? Didn't say nothing. They're just four guys. Do you know what? Because I know this guy needs Jesus. I'm going to take him and dig a hole in the roof and drop him down through. And let's just see what happens. Pretty cool, huh? And he saw their faith. And the Amplified says their confidence in God through him. And I like that. He said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven you. and put away. The Amplified says, that is, the penalty is remitted, the sense of guilt removed, and you are made upright and in right standing with God. When he said, your sins are forgiven, he said, you are made upright and in right standing. They're forgiven. You're in right standing with God now. Now, some of the scribes are sitting around holding a dialogue with themselves. I like that. As the question says, why does this man talk like this? This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins, remove guilt, except God alone? And at once Jesus, becoming fully aware in his spirit, they were thus debated within themselves. He said, Why do you argue about all this in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven and put away, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? You think about that. Jesus was the real thing. He was God. Which would have been easier? Say, your sins free forgiven you? The guy's not healed? How would anybody ever know? Nobody would. Your sins are forgiven. Yep, you're good to go. But he's still paralyzed. Jesus says, you know what? He says, what's easier? Verse 10 says, but you may know positively and beyond a doubt that the Son of Man has the right and authority and power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, you just rise up and walk. And what happens? That guy rose up. Could you imagine the four guys on the roof?
Yes!
Huh?
Yes!
You know them four guys on the roof? Are just like the people of this church. When we see God work in your life, we're like, yes! Yes! Let's give Him the glory! Yes! Huh? Doing the same exact thing. I want you to understand that prayer, we're to be known as the house of prayer. It's not taken lightly. It's serious. It's a time when we can pray for any need you have, knowing that God is in the middle of it. Knowing He's working. Knowing that we're allowing Him, by prayer, to work in that situation you're in. That's why we offer it every Sunday. That's why it's so important. Do you understand that? That's why it's so important. And it's not to say you're praying in your own time. Awesome. When you're in a situation, you need people to agree with you in prayer. Take you before the throne. That's what we do here. And that's as simple as it is. This is to be known as the house of prayer. If you're paralyzed from fear, from doubt, from anything in your life, and you just don't know what to pray, don't know how to pray, maybe you can't pray. That's what this church is here for. Isn't that cool? We're to pray for you. And you know, when we see God working in life, we're going to go, yes. We're going to give Him all the glory. I'm going to shut up. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your throne. Father, impress upon our hearts the awesomeness, the preciousness, a vehicle of prayer that we have with You, that we can talk, we can come boldly before Your throne, we can stand in the very presence of God Almighty, bringing our petitions, bringing petitions for other people before You, knowing without a doubt You're working in their life, You're working in that situation, and God, You're going to show Yourself strong. We praise You, Father. We love You. We thank You. I just pray that this would be impressed upon our hearts, just to talk to You more, to love You more. Praise You. We love You, Father. Father, we thank You for all You've done for us. And Father, we're thanking You for what You're going to do in the coming week. The power and strength You're going to give us, the abilities, the knowledge. It's all from You, Father. We praise You. We love You. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. So the praise team comes forward. The elder's going to come forward. This is that time that we offer every Sunday for prayer. And we're going to pray for you. If you need anointing with oil, we will do that. We're here to pray for you, take you before the throne.